Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Miranda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
Eddie Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome. Bitch.
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 We are live. This is weird. So, for anyone listening, I got a new microphone. We're testing out the new microphone. It picks up, I feel like, things on the moon, so we're having to deal with that. But we're gonna test this out today, see how it goes. And if it's too much, then we're going to return this new microphone and try something else. But for now, we've got the new microphone, and we will see how that moves us. Patrick O'Dowd! It's a big time in the world of pro wrestling on our program today. We're recording this on Tuesday, January the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Our first show of 2025. We did not
Indeed,
do.
Indeed, our first show in a while.
Yeah, we skipped the Christmas week. We skipped the New Year's week. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did.
In fairness, we record on the eves of those said days.
On the eves of the days, yes. So it is what it is.
And next year, it is those days. So
also not...
Telling you now.
Mark your calendars now. We will not have a December 26th nor a January 1st show next year. But maybe PC Tunney will record another Holiday Hijinks. If you've not listened to the Holiday Hijinks episode... Lots and lots of fun. So go out there, listen to it.
Bandwagon Nerds did a holiday special.
Did they? Were you on it?
Yeah.
Oh, just checking.
I haven't missed a Bandwagon Nerds show in a while.
There you go. We got some vacations coming up soon enough, so you'll.
Not till May. Not till May. I don't have any bowling tournaments as yet.
Oh, you need to sign up.
I'd have one at some point. I'll definitely have one in April. But no, we did a kind of a pseudo draft show. But we each had to plan our Bandwagon Nerd comic book holiday party, and then for New Year's we did just kind of a generic wishes for 2025 and New Year's resolutions for.
They can listen to Bandwagon Nerds if they want to. We don't need you to tell them this. They can just go listen to it.
No, see, you got to say holiday hijinks, and that's basically all it is.
But did I explain anything we did on holiday hijinks? Did I talk about the trivia? Did I talk about the fact that we gave holiday wishes for different wrestling promotions? Did I talk about that? But did I before?
Yeah, I don't care.
I know you don't care.
We've been friends for how many years? Why would I care?
Too long.
I'm going to put my shit over. I'm going to get my shit in. Also, every time you hit a soundbite, it makes a weird jingly noise.
Does it really?
Before it plays the sound. It's like... Doo-doo.
I noticed that. It's the mute button.
That's you.
Did you hear that? Did it do it again?
I heard it after. I heard you muted yourself.
Uh huh.
And I didn't hear you talk, but right. I heard two blue blues, but no soundbite.
That it's making that noise when I mute myself. Remember this great mute button that I discovered?
Yep.
It makes a fucking noise.
Remember how proud you were of your small victory?
I was so proud. You don't understand. Like, I was celebrating the mute button. Now,
you know, maybe
it's
you were so
useless.
Busy berating me over how you feel I should not put over my show. Good things that happened to you.
You're right. Maybe I shouldn't have. But here's the thing. Now that I did, and now that I'm mad.
Bitch.
Bitch.
You just made the list.
Now I'm going to berate you more. I'm taking out my anger on you. I am, and we're in an abusive relationship. I shouldn't even make fun of that, but I'm not woke, so I will. And people that are in real abusive relationships know that we care about you and we want you to get out of that relationship. We are not in a real abusive relationship, although we have been abusing each other emotionally for 20 years now. So, yeah, it is what it is. I can't use the mute button because it makes stupid fucking noises.
Yeah, it like doesn't mute to mute.
What's the point of the mute button if it makes a noise? See, is that because like it's like muting the volume or something?
See, now I'm unmuted and I'm back. And I know you can't mute on Skype. I understand that. But does your microphone itself have like a volume control?
So now it's not doing it anymore. No, the microphone only has a volume control for the for the headphones, but not for the microphone.
Hit your mute button again.
I did. Yeah, there's no sound now.
Yeah, it didn't do it. You're right.
It stopped doing it. I pulled up the little volume meter and then closed it, and it went away.
All right. Well,
I'm so confused. Maybe it's a voice meter thing. Aha! It's a foobar. When I have the foobar open on the screen,
you're muted.
So when I have the foobar open, right? The foobar is what we use for the sound bites. When it's the active window, that does it. So it's a foobar thing.
So basically, everything sucks when it comes
See,
to podcasting.
I went away from foobar, and now it doesn't do that anymore.
Weird.
I fucking hate this. I really do. I'm about to pause the recording, go get the old microphone and the old earbuds. Then
we are 15 minutes into the show. We started recording 30 minutes later. Come on, man. You're going to keep me up till like 12:30 Eastern
okay.
time.
See, now this is for the listener who doesn't understand. This week's subtitle should be Patrick is a giant pussy. Because he was complaining off air about things that I don't even remember what. But at this point, now he's on. We started at this time. We started at that time. Here's the thing. We didn't have to start the... Okay, you're right. We started late, okay? But we also wasted time you giving us the entire rundown of Bandwagon Nerds. Which people should go listen to. Not because you already recited the whole show.
Listen a minute.
You read the transcript of the program on air.
Yes. That Bandwagon Nerds, short show that it is.
Right. How long was this week's episode of Bandwagon Nerds?
We have clocked in steady, much to your disappointment, at around 2 hours. It's just kind of, I've learned to like. I don't care how much I shorten the damn rundown. I can give us two things. I swear to God, I can give us two things. Dave Tunney Ray and I would find a way to suddenly be. Oh, it's 2026 episode over. So I can't pretend. I've tried. Many times. Keeping the brain dead at two is like considering the 4 hour podcast days are done.
Yes. Although if you guys get into some more good lists, then maybe that'll change. When's the last time you guys did a big list?
We haven't done a list in a while. We're about to do a an end of year show. Like our top picks of 2024, right. Like for entertainment. So that'll probably be the next one, and then award season is coming, so we had the Golden Globes.
I'm gonna send you this soundbite. Here's how you can keep Bandwagon Nerds to however long you want to keep it.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
That's how you pull it off right there. Sorry, yeah, we got 3 minutes left. And then you just stop the recording.
Then they mark out over wrestling. Yeah, I know. It's funny.
Do you record the show or does somebody else record the show?
Yes, multiple people record the show.
Whose recording actually gets used as the file?
Usually Dave's, because we've never fixed my access to the site.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Like, that was like a year ago.
That was more than a year ago.
It's been a while.
It's been several years.
I haven't been able to get onto WordPress for a while. So
yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that.
We should talk about wrestling, though, man. You talked about history, and you know you berated me. Berate the internet. I don't know. Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened there.
What the fuck are you talking about? I did the thing again. Mild seizure. No, not that we're making fun of anybody who has actual seizures, because we're woke this week. We are woke.
No, we're clearly not woke, but you know. That's okay.
We're woke because we're immediately apologizing for these things that we say.
Right. We recognize that what we're saying is not good.
Yes.
But I figured you said you had tweets to talk about, shows to talk about, internet articles to talk about.
You do.
I'm ready.
We're going to get the show started.
Yeah, let's do it.
I played a sound, but it didn't fucking play. Let's go. Let's try this again. So like I said, it is Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Monday, January 6th, was the historic first ever episode of WWE Monday Night Raw on Netflix. We've known for a while that Raw was moving for Netflix. Now Raw is on Netflix, and we got to watch it. We all got to see it. Patrick O'Dowd and I have both watched it, and so we will dig into some individual items, but overall, having just finished watching Raw, and I watched it in pieces as well, because that's the glory of Netflix. I actually watched more of it live than I usually do. What are your initial thoughts? What is your 30,000 feet viewpoint on the Netflix debut of WWE Raw?
It was precisely what I expected for the WWE's premiere episode on a new platform/network, and is not indicative of what we will see with Raw's going forward. So it's hard to kind of fairly assess how this is going forward. Like it was a souped up Raw. It was like a Raw after WrestleMania kind of Raw. It was made to be a big deal. They pulled out all the stops. They brought out all the names. It felt like an anniversary show. I will not be one of those people who went as far as to be like, oh, it was like a PLE. It, you know, kind of. I mean, it had every match that they had were big time, kind of quote unquote big time matches. Like you had, or were made to feel like a big deal. You know, you kicked off with Tribal Combat. You wrapped up with Punk and Rollins. You had Drew and Jey Uso with the big entrance for Jey. And then you had Rhea and Liv. And all of those matches are, you know, PLE quality matches. And could have very easily been put on a PLE for especially, you know, the Tribal Combat one. That's arguably a PLE match. Clearly, Rhea and Liv was a PLE quality match. Punk and Rollins, yes, in terms of name on the card, though that second go to sleep, Punk, woof. But whatever, people were excited, so it was fine. But like it was a great show, but it's not what Raw will be next week or the week after or the week after. I think. Well, maybe longer, because that seems to be the talk and what Triple H is saying, it'll still be Raw, and it'll still be a lot of the storyline progression pieces that we're accustomed to seeing in Raw. It's just a different avenue, different venue.
So if you listen to some of the interviews that took place beforehand, which I didn't listen to until today, But Michael Cole and Triple H were both on the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee was live from the Intuit Dome, which we'll also talk about. But they talked about this Raw, and Michael Cole put it great. This was basically an introduction to WWE to the world, because they are now available on 80% of the planet. Right? On the planet. Patrick O'Dowd used to say that. On the planet. On these shows. They are now available. So they need to introduce the characters. And it's so funny to listen to Michael Cole talk about this. He's talking about the characters. And there's a Triple H interview where he kind of made the comment of, like, this is what we do. Like, they're not shying away from what they do. They're a show. They're not a sport. They're a traveling production. They are the circus. They are a theater. They are all of those things that just happens to be based around pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is the backdrop. Pro wrestling is the subject matter for this show. But it is not a sport. They are not trying to convince us that it's a sport. They're not trying to do any of that. So they had to really do the introduction. Babyfaces won every single match. That's what they do on house shows, right? This was the crowd-pleasing. This was the introduction to everything. I actually didn't think Rhea Ripley was going to win the title. I figured they would set up some crazy angle out of that. They did not. No crazy angles were set up tonight, anything like that. It was literally boom, boom, boom. Even Jey Uso beat Drew McIntyre. He beat him with a crucifix, quick little roll-up. A flash pin, which we know Samoa Joe is
maybe Drew and Samoa Joe trained at the same school.
Susceptible, that's what it is. We know that Samoa Joe is susceptible to the flash pin, but Drew McIntyre got caught with the flash pin because the babyfaces had to win, and Jey Uso did as well. Again, I'll talk about Cody in a minute, but it was literally the characters that they introduced everybody to, and it was an introduction to WWE. However, I will say this. During the broadcast, they talked about how next week we've got Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser in the little street fight, which is interesting to call it a street fight and not the little barroom brawl or whatever, the Belfast brawl, whatever they want to call it. Then they've got Chad Gable versus the Mystery Luchador. I wonder
who
that
would be.
And then they also have, of course, Dakota Kai versus Lyra Valkyria to crown the first women's intercontinental champion. If you are watching WWE for the first time, you don't know that that's a lower level show than what you just saw. So the fact that they presented this Raw to you and showed you all these other people sitting in the crowd doing their thing, and then they advertised these matches, they kind of, in my opinion, and so many people will disagree with me because I'm an idiot, to me, they leveled up all those other people by the matches that they chose to have on Raw. Could they have thrown in another match or two? Sure. Were there too many interview segments and whatever? Yeah, you didn't need to have a four-hour Raw or a four-match Raw and a three-hour show, in my opinion. Yeah, the matches were longer and blah, blah, blah. Commercials I'm not going to complain about because I went to an NFL, I didn't even post it on social media, so no one knows. I went to an NFL game on Sunday. My son and I went to the Cardinals game because I got free tickets. And there was the amount of times they stopped play for commercials is insane. Now, this was a high-scoring game. This game was like 47 to 20-something. So there were a lot of scores, which means there's a lot of kickoffs, which means there's a lot of commercials. So that's gonna happen. A higher scoring game takes longer to broadcast and play. It was almost a four-hour game. But Raw clocked in at just over 3 hours, not 3.5 like the internet told us. And everybody's, they can do whatever they want. And that's another thing. People didn't listen to the interview with Triple H on the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee was like, what'll dictate the length of the show? And he's like, it's really the storylines and blah, blah, blah. That's what everybody heard. What they didn't hear Triple H say was, there are still parameters we have to meet. They didn't hear that, obviously, because no one's reporting on that. But Triple H literally said, there are still parameters we have to meet because it is still broadcast in some international markets on television, not on Netflix. So there's that. And I'm sure Netflix wants them to hit a certain runtime. Netflix sold advertisements for this show, so you got to have a certain number of commercial breaks. So it's not like they're going to do a 90-minute Raw because they still got to fit everything in. It's still going to be right around 3 hours every week. It's probably going to be a minimum of like 255 and a maximum of like 330, you know, whatever. It can run over if they need to, and that's fine. I remember when a two-hour Raw would run over. There was one Raw. It was from Richmond, and I know all the Raw Richmonds because I love Raw Richmond. R.I.P. Richmond Coliseum. But there was one Raw that ran over by like 20 minutes one time, a two-hour Raw, with some big six-man tag team match that was amazing. It did feature He Who Shall Not Be Named, but back then we didn't know he shouldn't be named, so it didn't matter. So it was exciting and fun, and you didn't know it was going to happen. Nowadays, it is what it is, right? But there'll be some flexibility, but I don't expect this crazy variance of runtimes for Raw that people talked about. No. But
yeah, this was... I did notice.
What did you notice?
They didn't mute one of the chants, one of the fuck chants.
They didn't mute the fuck chants. The Rock said bullshit during his promo.
You're muted.
They didn't mute the fuck chants. The Rock said bullshit during his promo, which I feel like he did on purpose to show people that we're not going to mute those things. And that was cool. They did mute out something when The Rock said hello to Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. I noticed that. There was something that dropped out.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah.
I think if a performer says fuck, they're going to mute it out. But if the crowd says fuck, they're not going to mute it out.
But they used to do that. They used to kill the...
Oh, God, I know. They used to kill the feed if the word fuck was on a sign. They killed the feed once because a fan was giving somebody the middle finger on Fox. Those days are thankfully gone. Not that I'm like, oh, we need to be edgy and whatever. No, but we don't need to cut the feed. Like, if it happens, it happens, and it's cool and whatever. But in terms of the actual matches, sure, they could have done more. But overall, I liked it. What I really liked...
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And first of all, I don't give a shit about the canvas. I don't care their ads on the canvas. I don't give a fuck about the ads on the canvas. Within 10 minutes, I stopped noticing the ads on the canvas. People just complain about the dumbest things. Like, it did not impact my viewing experience at all. If it impacted your viewing experience, you're going to hate that I'm saying this. Not you, but loyal listener. You're going to hate that I'm saying this. If it impacted your viewing experience, that's on you. That's a you problem. Right. Not a WWE problem, not a corporate greed problem, not any of that. Corporate greed can be a problem for WWE, but it's not why you don't enjoy Raw.
Yeah, right?
It's the same with the Royal Rumble. You can hate the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Royal Rumble is going there and you cannot watch it. And that's fine, but that's not the WWE's fault anymore. It's not. It's just people making their personal choice, which should be respected and not complained about and not made fun of because we're woke. But at the same time, everybody has the opportunity to make their choices. But if you are complaining about the canvas in relation to your Raw viewing experience, you have chosen to complain about that and to make that more important than it truly is.
Well, yeah, and don't go to a sporting event then. Don't go, you know what I mean? Like, there's no sporting event that you can attend now that's not, you know, covered in corporate sponsorship. UFC, those mats are covered with
and have been for like 20 years.
You know, I was about to Google image the AEW, like just an AEW arena and setup. I don't think they have anything like that going right now.
They occasionally have them in the four corners of the ring, which they've had in the past.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Like, that doesn't change the map or mat. It doesn't change the wrestling product. It's not like I sat there and was completely distracted by the Fortnite ad, though I will say I noticed the Fortnite ad when Triple H, when the ring first emerged and Triple H was standing on the logo and started his, you know, are you ready speech. But I went, Fortnite's a sponsor, and then moved on with my life.
I mean, we all saw that, Matt, after SmackDown on Friday when it got put all over the internet.
I didn't, because I didn't watch SmackDown on Friday.
It wasn't on SmackDown on Friday, but the internet showed it to everybody because
tested. I didn't see that because I wasn't close to that part of the internet. So
it was tested at SmackDown on Friday. Good for you. Not paying
attention. I saw it for the first time when it got revealed.
Nice. I like that.
Much of what happened on Raw, I get it's because I'm full college basketball sports right now.
Right.
That like my algorithms are very much focused on college athletics. So like I don't get a lot of Raw or SmackDown stuff unless the chair shot guys really go nuts about tweeting about like that day's Raw or SmackDown. And they just don't do that very much anymore. So I really came into much of Raw today and yesterday, because I did watch, I think I mentioned this, I watched about an hour. I caught an hour and a half, because I watched John Cena to Rhea Ripley. That was like, that was my span of what I watched live. And then caught up on, I actually take that back. I saw the Jey Uso, Drew McIntyre match as well. Because I only had about 40 minutes of program to see the end before I could go back and watch it from the beginning. And it was all pretty fresh. And it's funny, what was the most distracting to me was the arena itself, because I didn't know if those lights at the seats had to do with something like that Raw and the WWE like were like, hey, wouldn't this be cool for the show? Or if that was just something about the arena. And maybe it was like a parking garage where, like, if the light's on, that's somebody's seat. If the light isn't on, that seat hasn't been taken. I don't know. I liked how they used it, like for the imagery of the show. Like, I don't know how much you cared or didn't care for it from a production standpoint, but that, you know, they shaded it to the red for most of the time. They utilized it at other times to shift those things to a white light, you know, when the moment called for it. I thought it was a pretty good use for a unique feature of the arena. Sorry to get off track, but
no, I'm 100% with you. We were going to talk about the Intuit Dome at some point as well, and we might as well. I will talk. So starting with Raw with like the big curtains around the ring was interesting. It was very much like a stage show. I've seen concerts where they drop the curtain quickly. Back in my church days, we actually did that for Christmas one year where it dropped and then they started playing the music and all that, because it was basically a rock and roll church at the time. It's subdued a little bit now. I haven't been there since like 2015, so or 26. I don't remember the year we stopped going. But it was whenever the Supreme Court case about gay marriage happened and they came out in support of it, and I was like, deuces, because I'm woke. Really is the point of the show this week, is to be woke. But overall, like the presentation, I loved, because it was different, and we've never seen a Raw like this. We've never seen a PLE like this. We've never seen a WrestleMania like this. We've never seen anything. One of the things that I've told you that you haven't seen, some of the coolest stages I've seen are in Saudi Arabia. Like the best stage I've ever seen, not the last Saudi Arabia pay-per-view, but the one before it. That was like my favorite stage that I've ever seen WWE use for an event. I don't even like the current Raw setup. I wish they had some angles to the stage or whatever. It's just this big flat screen. Like, it's just kind of boring. I didn't even like the WrestleMania stage for that reason. I thought they could have varied it up a little bit this year. But again, small things, small shit. It didn't impact my overall love for the event, but it looked so different. All the drones they used to film. And I know people are like, we'll see if they keep using the drones. Some people were like, they couldn't tell if it were drones. The one thing I'll notice, the drone shots had a little bit of a lower level of quality than the other shots. I guess drone cameras aren't as good as they used to be. But obviously, they're drone shots. Like, there's no way there weren't drone shots. Another feature that was unique to the arena was that big wraparound screen they have up hanging from the ceiling.
Yep.
That was really cool. Like, if I'm WWE, I'm trying to figure out how to replicate that in my normal setup, because that looked really fucking cool as well. Like, just the whole presentation was different. I was like, maybe they'll go to away from the white ropes. They didn't. Because it would have looked really cool if they went back to red, or maybe if they went to black, or whatever they could have done. But overall, you presentation, know, I loved.
I don't remember this, or if the shots were there, I didn't catch that those were those particular shots. Did they ever use those ref cams that they had?
I only saw it on the ref for the first match, and it fell off when he was out of the ring.
It was on him. It was on whoever refed Rhea and Liv.
I did not see a single ref cam shot.
But I never saw a single shot. So I wonder if that was we're going to experiment with this thing. They saw what the footage was looking like, because, you know, they can switch cameras, and they were like, no.
I would imagine they previewed it, and then and his cam fell off the first ref at some point. Right, so, I don't think we need the ref cam. I really don't. Like,
it's I don't either. I remember the original ref cams.
Yeah,
back in the 90s.
We've come so far. Well, I'm surprised they even did it on TV. Like, that shouldn't have been. I'm sure they experimented with it at some other point. I know they did some experimentation.
They called attention to it during the Rhea Ripley Liv match. That's the only reason I picked up.
I guess I wasn't paying attention to commentary because I did not notice that. But it is what it is. Like, I just didn't really. I didn't miss it. I noticed it at first, and then it just kind of like the canvas went away completely. I didn't even think any other ref was wearing it, but they were.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point they'll use it for like a replay. They'll bring back the Patastrator. I don't know, but it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing that I noticed so much. There were a few other little snippets that I thought were funny. All the celebrities, my God, the amount of coke that Macaulay Culkin and Seth Green must have done before that show would have made Tony Khan jealous. But it was cool. They kept moving people around. Like, that was the funny part. I saw like a wider shot of the arena that somebody posted. And the section right in front of the ring that's in front that the hard cam's not facing, where the hard cam would have its back to the hard cam, was empty a lot. And people were like, I thought I just had 17,000 people, blah, blah, blah. They didn't realize that that's where all the VIP sat. WWE usually doesn't sell all those tickets. They tend to sit people there. That's where they kept sitting celebrities. During the final match of the night, you had WWE ID talent sitting there. Good for all those guys for getting all the work they've been getting lately. But it's just one of those little nuances. I don't know if it'll happen every week. Some of it will. Like, I would imagine they're going to keep the canvas. I would imagine they're going to keep the... I hated the Raw logo when I first saw it. Like, the mock-up of it, but it's perfect. Like, the whole thing flowed really well for me. I kind of wish there's certain elements of the Intuit Dome they could take, like that wraparound screen and like some other things. But, where are they? In San Jose next weekend, so I'll be excited to see what that looks like. Bailey will probably appear that night because she was there talking to Anna Pierce this week and she does live there. So that'll be an interesting
interesting
little tidbit to see. But overall, I did enjoy the presentation of Raw because they have switched. Like, when they went to SmackDown on Fox, they did a few little things here and there. And of course they did when Vince McMahon left, they started doing more of the single shots where they would follow people out. The drone shot that would come in through the building, like through the front door, and eventually make its way to the ring. Like, all these different things that they've done. But this was those are one little element that would come in every few months. This was like 40 million elements all in the same show. And I generally
they really pulled out all the stops and really showed what they can do. And I don't know, like, part of me is like, has this been there the whole time? Is this something that because there's some sort of just broadcasting freedom that's different through Netflix that allows them to do more other than change the presentation? Like, you're talking about these drone shots and all this other stuff. I wonder how long this sort of stuff has been in the works.
Probably a long time. Probably since they came up with the idea to go on Netflix. They probably could have done some of these things sooner and just held on to them until now. But overall, I really enjoyed the presentation. Now, I'm kind of a presentation nut, so that's partially me.
I got to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Best celebrity, you talked about Seth Graham. Topanga was.
Of course.
Topanga.
Other dude not even getting announced was kind of funny. The actor that was sitting next to her. The Matthews brother or whatever from said show, not getting any love. It's like she was invited and he wasn't, and he just went with her. And so he was just like her plus one. It was kind of funny how they would go to like, Lyra Valkyria. And then they would go two people over to Nikki Bella. Then they come back to X-Pac, who was sitting next to Lyra Valkyria, who we saw sitting next to Lyra Valkyria earlier and was like, why aren't we showing X-Pac? It was just kind of funny and weird how they did the celebrities.
I think the cameraman got confused on that one. Maybe. Like, literally, I think that was a straight up flub because, like, it was like X-Pac didn't even look ready to be filmed. It was pretty funny.
Well, I don't know if it was that. He probably went over to X-Pac because then the other camera person was going to someone else and they didn't get off his shot.
My favorite random one though, and it's become a GIF / meme. You talked about Nikki Bella being up there. Bill Simmons is sitting next to her, and everybody's talking about how he is like dead ass not looking at Nikki Bella while she is doing her hula hoop ass twist. It's pretty funny to watch on replay.
I definitely would have. I don't care. Sue me. I don't give a fuck. Like, let's go. So overall, definitely enjoyed Raw. Enjoyed the presentation of Raw. So let's go to commercial, and then we're going to come back. And I've got some individual topics that are tangential to Raw to talk about, and they will be fun as well. So, yeah, stick around. We will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
So I did have a couple of things prepared that I pulled up that I did just found very interesting about Raw. And some of the things that were said. And one of them you pointed out to me that I didn't even notice. And then I immediately saw an article about it. And that was something that, that really just kind of made me laugh. Kind of made me smile a little bit. And that was Triple H using phrases like face and heel in the opening video. And you brought it up. And then I was like, and I thought it was more like trying to own those terms, this or that. But then Triple H, we had some quotes from a video or some quotes that Triple H was asked about. And he talked about why they were doing it. And it was about the Netflix product as a whole, where they're going to have documentaries and other shows. That's why it's the story of pro wrestling, which I think is great. Most people, I'm surprised, and maybe I just haven't seen the criticism, that WWE is trying to say that they are pro wrestling and nobody else is. But like they're 90% of it, so it's going to be okay if anybody's upset about that. But on the insider terms, that Triple H had this to say, and I thought it was very interesting. He said that was the intent, to capture the emotion. And people know we're not hiding what we do. You know, I saw a lot of chatter today from people saying like, oh my God, they said heel and face and shoot and work in one promo. And like, we're not hiding what we do. That's what we do. And to be honest, I think most of the world understands those terms and sort of now they've almost transcended our business. I see people talking about that in other venues. He's the heel, this guy. Heel is probably the biggest one, of course. I mean, it's in the Grinch right. song. Like, come on. It's transcended our business. It is what it is. People know what we are. We talk about it. We're not insulting anybody's intelligence. This had to blow some people's minds because it's such a departure from the secrecy of the business and maintaining kayfabe and all of that to the point where some people working there may not have liked it, although I'm sure they're over it by now.
You know who I immediately thought of? Bruce Pritchard.
But see, and he returned last night.
Right, but what's really interesting, like that he's one of those guys that, and he's evolved quite a bit, like from who he was to who he is. But he still is very much like one of those. One, I don't think he particularly likes those terms in general. Like if you were to get, like if you listen to him on his podcast, it's just not like, but he talks about like heels and faces and who, you know, who they are and what they do. And, you know, what would he always say was the WWE? What kind of territory was the WWF?
He would tell you that they are a babyface territory.
But he would never say that out loud. And this is the other thing. This is also when you think about things that are a departure from Vince and what the company was when Vince was in charge. And this is not an indictment on Vince McMahon and the way he ran his company.
Yes, it is.
But we used to, do you remember when, and it's even doubly, because I know you followed along when JBL has been doing these interviews with Conor, and you had to listen to the commentary episode. If you haven't listened to the commentary episode yet, you need to get to that
one. I did.
But I remember in the 2000s and in the late 90s and even into the, you know, the 2010s, everybody would talk about the list of taboo words, things you couldn't say for various reasons, whether it was that the language was different or it's just things you didn't say. and face, heel, like the quote unquote inside baseball stuff. Like you didn't say that. Like you weren't allowed to. And what started this for me is I legitimately, when I heard it, I think the text I asked you was, is this the first time where like this was unironically used? And I think I just said, is this the first time it's been talked about on a program? And you were like, I remember John Cena making a joke about
John Cena made the joke where he was doing the heel turn and he literally turned on his heel when everyone wanted to turn heel. I think Pat McAfee said it on commentary, but again, he's supposed to be like a fan commentating. It may have been said in AEW. I can't even think of a worky shooty promo where someone said face and heel.
Maybe I was like, back when Nash did the promo before he left, like maybe there, I don't know. Cause I could swear, like, cause I feel like he did something about booking or complained about booking or said something about booking.
I know he made a comment or two in there, maybe booking, but like, that's
right.
Not the what we're talking about really.
But yeah. And so, you know, regardless, you know, like what Triple H is talking about, like not insulting people, so most people know what these is. I do see, honestly, of the things that stuck with me from the episode, to see a WWE program unironically use those terms and on some level just embrace it, and I know they said they don't want to call it owning it or anything like that, but owning it and yes, not insulting the fans' intelligence, and that the roar now from alleged purists who frankly I think are just pissy that they don't get to sound smarter than they are, because now they can't really use those terms and sound like they're some sort of high and mighty what's his nuts, because now the WWE, you know, they used them openly.
It's wrestling. Pro wrestling is like the ultimate garage band, if you think about
right.
it. That gets famous. Like that's what they really are, and people get mad when everybody else kind of knows about them. That's why there's so much gatekeeping that takes place in the fandom of pro wrestling in general. Like there's gatekeeping within fandom of sports teams, of colleges and everything, but there's not, you haven't really heard somebody be like, well, you don't remember when only like 10 college football games were broadcast in a month, blah, 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 not 10 on a day on Saturday. You don't hear that so much, but wrestling fans really do gatekeep the entire fucking show. And
oh yeah.
And this way, I think this was WWE, because here's the thing. Once they do something, it kind of changes forever. And so the fact that Triple H said these terms, a year from now, you're going to hear something on commentary talking about the story, talking about things like that. Because he talked about that in that opening promo. He talked about telling the story. It started with a typewriter, right? Which is what you usually think about with a book or a movie script. They're literally owning that this is a show, that it's a work. And I think that's fine because that's what it's been for so long. It was in the 80s when it got outed on like the local news in the Northeast that WWE had admitted that they were fake. And it had been happening for decades prior to get away from the athletic commissions where they could. So this is just, it's kind of this acceptance. Now, thank goodness it's not 3 years ago when Tony Khan was tweeting about everything, because I would have loved to see what he would have said about it. Now I think he knows better than to say anything stupid like this, because it just wouldn't go well for him if he were to do something like that.
But, and there are some stupid reactions to not just
I haven't seen this. Any.
Well, for a fun read, I'm going to send you a screenshot that DJ sent, because this guy wrote a manifesto. This is he wrote a 5-paragraph high school essay about how terrible and how wrong everything was with this Raw. It's pretty sad.
While you do that, I want to read this quote. It comes from Roman Reigns. It's in the same article that about the Triple H quote.
Go ahead.
And he was asked about John Cena calling him the GOAT. And I found it very interesting because I obviously love Roman Reigns for a lot of different reasons. And he said, well, I am an extremely important man with a lot of things to do, so I don't think about those kinds of things. I think John's also a very smart man who knows what he's talking about. He has an inside look. This is a really subjective business, and it's really on the fan and the person who's speaking on this matter. But my metrics don't lie. And it's just so good. Like Roman just owned the moment in such a great way with John Cena. And remember, John Cena put Roman Reigns over more than once, but did so in the main event of SummerSlam a few years ago in Vegas. So it was obviously, you know, Cena wants Roman Reigns to go down as that because he put him over. So he's kind of on his island,
right,
to use a business term with hiring and firing. So I'm down. Did you send me this screenshot that you're trying to send me?
Yeah, I had to send it to you. I sent it to you in the X tweeter. So you'll have to.
That's a good bit of information for me to know.
I pulled it from.
I know, but as you know, I have zero notifications on for anything, so I would have no idea if you sent me something on Twitter.
Oh yeah, I was gonna let you know when you caught a break. You were rolling though. Roman Reigns owning the moment at the press conference. I did not watch any of the press conference stuff, so I didn't catch that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it's a manifesto, dude. It's a 5-paragraph litany of nonsense, dude. It's nonsense. And we don't need to kill airtime reading it. It's just
I'm just going to read a couple of quotes from this, right?
Okay.
A hollow NPC-ridden media hype circus with the fan base doing backflips for every bit of mild PR. 3 hours of pure, undistilled capitalism. Blue checks are asking you neutral horseshit like, what do you rate Netflix premiere out of 10? Thoughts on Hulk Hogan being booed because most of them were spineless, unpaid PR agents that are too terrified to give takes. Or they just don't care about those things. I boo of wrestle purists. Actually, you know what? Let me sum this up in a different way. And I haven't said something like this in a long time. But when you talk about hollow, when you talk about something that is coming from a perspective of trying to have personal gain, that's what this entire tweet that has been shared with us. And unfortunately, this gentleman paid for his check mark, which I don't care if someone pays for their check mark. He's criticizing blue check marks when he has one, by the way. But that allows him to write an entire article as a tweet. I boo of wrestle purists. Go fuck yourself. Like, really. Like, get off of it, dude. Go watch something else. Like, you knew what was going to happen when you tuned into Raw. Because it's just other weeks of Raw turned to 11. This is not a new concept, what WWE did. They just honed in on it more because they were presenting their product to the entire world. It was literally this year's Super Bowl for them. People talk about it was like WrestleMania. No, it was a mini WrestleMania is what this was. It had celebrities. It had legends. It had main event matches all across the board. Even Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre, which in the grand scheme of things was the lowest level match on the card, could main event anything if they wanted to. It just didn't. Every other match on this card had a build that started, that dates back to WrestleMania and SummerSlam of last year. So, and even beyond, because remember, it was Liv Morgan who hurt Rhea Ripley shortly after WrestleMania. This Roman Reigns solo thing started the night after WrestleMania. CM Punk and Seth Rollins started before WrestleMania, started Survivor Series 2023 when CM Punk returned. So three of the four matches had almost a year-long build to them. And Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre still, you know, even though it only had a couple weeks of build, still a main event level match. This was a night of main events, to steal an old Ring of Honor show name. This was a WrestleMania card. It was. It was a four-match WrestleMania.
I found that reaction so...
It's terrible.
Outright
special. That's more disingenuous than the people he's complaining about.
Right.
And it's like, dude, what did you expect?
Well, it's the same. Like, I saw, what was the other? There was another toxic fan thing, and I'm sorry to get too far down this rabbit hole. But, it was somebody trying to compare Edge and Booker T or shampoo commercial feud to Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa battling over... and I always get the name of it wrong. I always call it the wrong thing, so I don't want to be the culturally Ulafala. Insensitive to
the Ulafala.
The Umafala.
Ula. U-L-A. Ulafala.
Yeah, same. Sounds too much like that wrestler who won the NXT title today.
No, he doesn't mean that because this is a woke program. He is not comparing Obafemi to the Ulafala. Obafemi, Ulafala, Ulafala, Obafemi.
By the way, Ola Uba. Back on one of our list shows, Ola I Femi. Totally talked up Obafemi.
We and have.
How
I have too. This is not you taking credit for Roman Reigns. I have talked about yeah. Obafemi more than anybody.
I'm not saying you're the only one. I'm just right there with
right. you. No, you are right there with me. I actually didn't expect when they went with a three-way match with putting Eddie Thorpe in there. I almost called him Carl Fredericks, who did this thing that I hate that people do. But I was really surprised they went when they went three-way. I figured this isn't where Oba wins a title, and this is where Oba wins a title. Now they have a built-in rematch, so they can do right. that with Oba and Trick before Trick moves on. I also don't like that Roxanne Perez lost the title to Julia. I love Julia, but Stephanie Bakura is better. But hey, it's my playlist and nobody else's, so it's all good.
Word. Anyway, back to the point at hand. I just this is the stuff that like at this point, where are we, folks, as fans here, that you are speaking into a void for your engagement farming of the like-minded people who don't like what the WWE is doing. So you write five paragraphs with your blue check mark, or you try to degrade, you know, something that actually has a lot of cultural significance and relevance to, you know, kind of a goofy match or, you know, goofy feud from 20 plus years ago that was over a shampoo. Like, it's just fascinating to me the amount of work folk go to really not give a thing a chance or a respect. Like, this was your opportunity to really clear your brain. I think I know about wrestling purist guy. But you didn't want to do that. All you wanted to do was see things that you feel reaffirm everything that you think is, quote, wrong with wrestling in the WWE and put it out there. And I don't know what you watch. I don't know if you're an AEW guy. I don't know if you're a New Japan guy. I don't know what you are. But I also know that those companies don't exist if the WWE doesn't be what it is.
New Japan might, but not in America.
Right.
New Japan would exist no matter what. AEW sure. would not. TNA would not. WCW might have because it started out of the NWA.
But how about this? Does New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I find ironic because, yes, I understand that their television contract, they let it expire, and so not sure where I'll see it on American soil. But would New Japan Pro Wrestling be picked up in American television outlets today if the WWE did not exist?
No. I mean, maybe only because the networks that were carrying it were like
on your local cable access channel.
Yeah, like Access was a niche station anyway, so it's looking for the underserved market, and the Japanese wrestling fan was that, and still is. I think AEW has cut into that a little bit by doing things like signing Japanese talent. We can't say poaching because only WWE poaches. AEW doesn't.
Right.
They just sign talent, right? Because you know AEW good, WWE bad, but. It's yeah, the whole wrestling fan purist whatever. Like, here's my and what's funny is when people complain about the product, they absolutely hate when I'm like, you could just not watch. They're like, what's wrong with you wanting it to be better? And I'm like, I understand that. What's wrong with you wanting it to be better? It's better in your opinion. It's not going to be better in the way you want it to be better because the right. way you want it to be better is actually worse. And that's the biggest problem.
Or is just this product over here. Like, you know what I mean?
But
like
this product over here isn't, and we're talking about, you know, whether it's AEW, New Japan, let's just say AEW, right? Because that's available sure. in America and all of that. Their presentation is so bad that people would rather WWE just be as good in the ring as AEW from what they see and have a right. higher match to no match ratio. And because I know Raw had an hour of wrestling and 2 hours of waiting, as the report that I saw called it. And by the way, go back and look at the stats for WrestleMania 3 and see how much wrestling actually took place on that show. It's not good. It's like 40
four,
minutes. It's 39.
Four is worse.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. And four had 15 matches or
whatever. The tournament. Yeah.
Those matches were like 3 and 4 minutes long because they still had to do entrances and everything. Like, what people don't understand is with WWE, they count bell to bell. Like, entrances obviously mean something. Think about the amount of production that they put into entrances. Entrances have actually gotten better since they got rid of the little floating head graphics that they used to do all the time. Like, virtual augmentation or augmented reality or whatever they called it. Like, thankfully, those didn't last very long. Even the NFL still uses that stuff and WWE doesn't. But to me, it's just so much. Like, you just can't count bell-to-bell minutes for a WWE program. Like I've said before, know what you're watching. And in these cases, they don't know what they're watching. And it shows.
And just to bring it back to the past, we were those guys. I did that. Remember? Way 10 years ago, plus years ago, when we, early years of the podcast, I did that. And to this day, I don't know why I did that. Like, honestly. Well, I know why, because we were taking shots.
We were like hardcore Ring of Honor fans at the time.
Right.
And
we were taking the shots. We were those guys, which is why we know and can tell you that you're being stupid.
We're reformed internet marks. Like, we really are. Like, we're the takes one and no one. That's why we're so good at picking them out, because we've been them, right? We know exactly what they do. The best people to help alcoholics are alcoholics, like ones that have recovered. Right. And I cannot go and help an alcoholic because I've never been one. So it'd be really difficult for me to do that. Like, if someone has a challenge in their job as a carpenter, I couldn't help them because I've never done that. But if you run implementations for a software company, I can help you with that because that's what I do. So I understand. I can't help teachers who struggle with their job because I've never been a teacher. Because I would get fired in 15 minutes because I'd be like, shut the fuck up, you're stupid. And then I'd get fired. And so that just would not
work. It'd be epic, though.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be, you know, going down in a blaze of glory, John Bon Jovi style. But I could not do, as I date myself, but I could not do Blaze of Glory. That's another wrestling show name I need to use at some point. Blaze of Glory. I've had a hard time finding a name for our May show. Maybe May will be Blaze of Glory. We'll find out. We'll see. So anyway, next item that I want to talk about was also from the post-show press conference. Roman Reigns was asked about a potential match with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, of course, Roman and Dwayne had their moment with The Rock being the tribal chief. And Solo didn't acknowledge him, by the way, even though he was supposed to. But Roman got the Ulafala back, which if you didn't think that was going to happen, you're insane. What's interesting is that Rock came out during that match, at the end of that match, to no music. And that never happens. Like, he kind of waltzed down the aisle. Now, we already had his grand entrance at the beginning of the show, but still, Rock came out to no music. So, again, Rock was asked about a potential match with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He said, I love this so much. I absolutely, this, there's 3 hours of talking points out of these 40 words or whatever I'm about to read. I don't have to do anything. You guys do it for us. We're just going to let the internet do its thing. That would defeat the whole purpose of this. The internet won't do its thing if I said yes or no. So we'll see. Fucking brilliant. Like, this is, we've been saying for years on these airwaves that in 2014, the build to WrestleMania 30 and 2013, fall of 2013 into WrestleMania, I talked about how Triple H brilliantly uses the internet against itself. That's now 11 years ago. They so well use the internet to their advantage, and the internet buys into it hook, line, and sinker every time. Roman Reigns just told you what's been going on for over a decade, and you're still going to do it. I'm going to do it again. You guys do it for us. We're just going to let the internet do its thing. The internet won't do its thing if I said yes or no. And then the sheep are just going to do it, and it's brilliant, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
I mean, it's hard to argue. He's easily the greatest wrestler of his generation because
he is top five all time. Like, I know you got to take somebody off the list And maybe, again, well, it's unfair to say top five, top whatever. There is an upper tier. There is that upper tier.
Yeah.
That's Hogan, Cena, Austin, Flair, and Roman. Michaels. No, Michaels isn't in it, in my opinion. Michaels, Undertaker, Bret, Sting, they're all in that second tier. That is still an all-time GOAT tier. Okay?
Sure.
But even within the all-time GOATs, there are tiers. And that upper tier, in my opinion, because Michaels was never able to carry the company on his back to business success the way Hogan, Flair.
Oh, no.
It's true, though.
Oh, no.
What? What'd I do?
Well, I'm just saying all your internet fans, they'll love that soundbite.
Hogan, in fact, Flair.
If you did clips pushing the show, you should have that clip be.
Right? There's like clip software that we could do a so much better job promoting these shows, and we just don't do it because we all have lives. People love making these shows and recording them. They hate the process that goes along with making them huge. And well,
it's a full-time job, and we're not getting paid, bro.
I'm people. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have a job, and I'm a wrestling promoter. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm a wrestling promoter. Free show this Friday. We'll talk about it in a minute. But Roman's in that tier. And look, Cody's not. Cody might end up there. I think Cody right now is in that third or fourth tier. I think by the time he finishes his career, he'll end up in that second tier. Shawn Michaels, you know, Bret Hart, Sting. I even think The Undertaker is in that second tier because he's never been the guy to carry the company. He's been that rock. But all these guys in that, Triple H is in that tier. They're the backbone guys of the company. They're the ones that held up the golden goose. They're the ones that held up the moneymaker, built the moneymaker, put the moneymaker over. They're the people whom the backs of the business are built on. Charlotte Flair is one of those. I don't think Charlotte will ever go down as that upper tier. I think Becky will be in the upper tier for women, and Charlotte won't, in my opinion, because, again, it's just that different level of talent, different level. And maybe she will. Maybe there's still more to come out of Charlotte that we'll see.
I like the tier argument much more than GOATs or top fives. You've heard me say this many times. Like, I don't believe in the idea of GOAT. I don't.
It's a GOAT tier, basically. Yeah.
Especially for anything that spans, a century plus, damn near at this point. Like it's hard to. Like, it's just hard to quantify, you know, it's hard to put that into words. One of the other, did you say Andre? Because in the 70s.
No, he's second tier.
I disagree because of the 70s. Andre was the 70s.
But Andre moved around so much. So Andre was never the guy you built the territory on. Andre was the.
I guess you'd go with Bruno, or you would go with.
Bruno. Bruno's definitely in the top tier. If we're going back into those
areas. I guess I see it a little bit differently just because of, like, I do see the larger-than-life piece of Andre that I understand the territory-to-territory bounce around thing, but I guess and this is the great thing about being different people, is
that. No, you're wrong.
I can see it, and I can see it differently.
No, you're
and
just it's wrong. Okay. It's fine. You're just
no,
wrong.
No, Greg.
No, the tier argument that I am making is purely factual.
Yes, absolutely. It has no basis of your personal feelings or view of.
No, it doesn't, because I don't like Hogan.
It's true. Nobody apparently likes Hogan.
No, nobody. But even as a kid, I was rooting for Paul Orndorff. Like, again, like, these are not my personal favorites,
Your objective criteria. Your objective criteria is slightly different than what I would put in as my objective criteria.
That's true.
That's okay.
Because I do focus on the business, focus on the results. People hate when I do that. But here's the other problem is that many people, not you, I'm not talking about Patrick in this case, many people confuse greatest of all time with my favorite of all time. And so they try to, again, turn their opinion into fact, which maybe I'm doing as well. But they'll be like, okay, well, my favorite's this person, so now I'm going to list. What I would love to do is establish a tier and then have arguments about AJ Styles. Because where does he go? Because I don't think he's in the same tier as Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and all them. He's probably in the third tier. Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I would probably, without checking myself, artificially put him in the second tier when he should be in the third tier.
The hard thing about, well, and Eddie's a particularly tough case because you don't know. Like, you really don't know at the end of the day, because when that was about to be the thing, like truly be the thing, we lost him.
He was about to go on a second run. Yeah, he's about to go on a second run.
And so like, it was like so Batista. Tough.
Batista's third or fourth tier just because of the amount of time he did. Notice why, I mean, even The Rock, you might be able to say second tier, but they just got so hot with Rock and Austin. Like, they literally reignited the business to become what it was today.
So, yeah, I think that's a fun other episode that we could do.
And we need to get other people involved. Like Brock Lesnar. I would put him in tier two. I think some others might put him in tier three. That's
well, and here's the other thing is, how many tiers are there?
I don't know. Because the tiers get bigger as you go down. It's like a pyramid. You know, the tiers.
Yeah, absolutely.
The higher the tier, the more exclusive it is. But maybe the tier two is smaller than or bigger than tier three. Or who knows?
You know,
it just depends on how you put people in the tiers and where they go.
Right.
So Roman Reigns, brilliant. That's why we got him as tier argument. Patrick O'Dowd, a couple years ago, we named the podcast Kat Dennings Listens to This Show, because Kat Dennings had become all the rage because she went to a wrestling show and the AEW fans went after her. Let me pull something up real quick. Actually, let me go to a commercial and then we'll come back from said commercial and then I'll pull something up real quick.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Bitch!
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 Acknowledge me!
So years ago, we had a show that was called Kat Dennings Listens to This Podcast. You thought it was brilliant because we talked about how the AEW fans tried to run her off. Well, internet darling Kay Adams went to Raw last night. She wasn't one of the featured celebrities, but she was there. And during Raw, she sent out a tweet. Simply said, "This is awesome," with a big space in between each one. 24 minutes later. Probably still during the show, maybe right after the show. I don't know. It's 11:22 p.m. on whoever screenshotted this. At Agonize, A-G-O-N-I-Z-E-E, right, a blue check mark, on Twitter, then replies to her, "LOL, that wasn't even real wrestling," laughing face emoji. "That was such a snooze fest," three snooze emojis, "that I even had to put my kids to sleep for ha ha ha." I don't even get that. "If you want to watch real wrestling, where the real graps happen, make sure you watch Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada 1-4, or you're not a wrestling fan, you're just another WWE cinema fan."
Okay.
That's who he was talking about, Kay Adams. Yeah, in response to Kay.
No, that was just Patrick, you know, Kay. Like, what? Like, what? Like, I don't, like, it's the same thing we talk about over and over and over again. This is the same shit. You talked about gatekeeping to open the show. This is a definition of, like, you don't get to be a fan unless you like flippy shit. And here's the thing. I love Okada, as we've talked about before. Like, I have put Okada on many a ranked tier. I have loved Okada and Omega. Not as much as I've loved Okada and Naito, but that's just me. Does that mean that I'm more of a wrestling fan because I like those matches? No. Stop it. You're a dumbass. As you say, fuck you. Like, fuck all the way off. And don't come at a person who I didn't know who Kay Adams was, so I had to search her and then checked out her like threads where she talks about other wrestling companies with other people. So you're also making a presumption about her and who she is as a wrestling fan based on a tweet because she was at Raw. Like,
a tweet that never even referenced Raw. She could have been talking about a steak dinner.
Right. She could have.
We don't know.
Because it just says, this is awesome. You're right. We can presume, but to get.
And they didn't even show her on television, which means this dude had to follow along real closely.
Right. And that doesn't, like, what cred do you get by going after Kay Adams? Like, what mouth breathing, retainer wearing, basement dwelling, picks his own nose, piece of shit, internet fan was like, you're the truth, bro, because you went after Kay Adams. Oh, look at this. Oh, you sent me the picture.
I sent you the tweet.
Is that them though, or is that Kenny Omega? I can't tell.
Kenny Omega's in his profile picture.
Yeah.
Or at least his head.
That's all you need to know.
And his status is sharpshooting, and he's got 241 followers. And his pinned tweet is AJ Styles 2016 pay-per-view match ratings a thread. And then he did retweet to his credit the AEW Neckbeards tweet about him. So I do give him credit for that. But yeah, everything he's doing is Japan and AEW. Like it is what right. It is. But then the Rock pointing out a fan who had a shirt that says wrestling is real, he also did that and yeah, it's just he did retweet Julia and Obafemi winning the NXT championships. Oh, then there's Kenny Omega stuff that he's retweeted. Yeah, he's been all over the tweets about him. So I give him credit for that. Like, he has owned the stuff that's been said about him. So
okay.
And then he actually apparently issued an apology. But I'm reading it, and I don't know if it's real or not. Because it says, I want to sincerely apologize for my bigoted post under Miss Adams' tweet about, and of course he did Adams wrong, because he keeps calling her Miss Adam, which is not true. As I didn't think it would be taken the wrong way. Ever since you, Mr. Weeks, who's Julian Weeks, who retweeted it, who's a really cool guy and actually lives here locally, dropped that tweet demoralizing me, it has brought me, my wife, and four children horror, and we weren't able to finish our Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher match. I hope you can both take time out of your day to read this and forgive me for my foolish behavior. Okay, I can't hate the guy as much as I want to. I just
can't. I hate that because, like, again, you're the worst type of person. You're the worst type of fan. You're everybody we bitch about. And you can't even take, like, because here's the thing. Hey, one, I don't like trying to roast a dude who's trying to roast somebody else because it's just, then it's a flame war and that's dumb. But, like, you're dumb. You're dumb and you're so dumb and you're so wrapped up in your own head and your bullshit and you think you're so much smarter. You think you're the smartest guy in the room, which is why you write a dumbass neckbeard, I think I'm better than you, half-ass sarcastic apology. Because you think, oh, well, I got him back. Like, I'm not going to apologize for him. Like, America. Like, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy, and shame on you for looking at his shit and reading it on their air. Shame, Greg.
Or.
I disagree with you.
Or, did he do it ironically because of what happened with Kat Dennings? And everybody fell for it.
No. Pretty sure.
I don't know.
Well, you know, Mars could crash into Earth tomorrow. We don't know. It might happen.
Because he's also writing things like, Karrion Kross has grown on me. Rock on NXT tomorrow. He hit a Moxley stomp, not a Seth stomp, which is actually true. Then, of course, he calls Liv Morgan Skid Morgan. And
yeah, you're not going to sell me on this, dude.
It's just interesting. Like, I do think, I don't know. I like the fact he didn't back off of it because, again, I also think he took the perspective of, like, it's Twitter. And I think that's a part of it, too. So
I wish I could look at Twitter the way that you and some others look at Twitter. But I also see, because not everybody's you.
Right.
And not everybody responds with, it's Twitter. and
oh, people take it way too seriously. I know.
So, anyway, Facebook is using extra resources. Oh, golly. Not my tabs, everybody. Not my tabs. No. Not on the browser.
Uh-oh, the browser's fucked. So, there you go. So, those are all the items that I wanted to talk about today in association with the internets and the tweeting and the raw. There is one that came up just recently, Patrick O'Dowd, that I guess was revealed 5 hours ago. But it's recently for me. So let's do this, and then we'll talk about this topic.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So, Pat... There we go. Sorry, the mute button didn't unmute for a second there. So, Patrick O'Dowd, this was revealed earlier today, and I had to do some looking, and now the initial report that I saw is gone. I think I saw it. Oh, there it is right there. Sheamus signs new 5-year deal with WWE. So, of course, what's the first thing you think I did when Sheamus signed his new 5-year deal with WWE?
First thing you did?
Yeah.
Like, look to see if it was official?
No, the source was... looked up Sheamus' age. That's the first thing I did.
Well, because that's why I said really, because I was like, one, all I've heard in the last 5 years is how beat up and old he is.
Right?
And how he's looking to retire. But
this is the modern day WWE where we take weeks and months off at a time. So a guy like Sheamus is 46 years old. He will be 51 at the 51? End of this contract.
Damn.
51. Now, Billy Gunn's 55 or 56 or 57 by now. Undertaker's only like 59. Billy Gunn, I think, is older than The Undertaker. So,
but Billy Gunn is such a unique athlete that I don't think it's fair, honestly, to compare other humans to him.
I get that. But at the same time, Sheamus kind of is too. Billy Gunn is 61 years old.
Yeah, he does not look like...
Now, let's remember, Billy Gunn got fired from WWE for taking PEDs while working at the Performance Center because he was training for a bodybuilding competition. Undertaker is 59, just for some perspective. So Billy Gunn is indeed older than The Undertaker. Well, of course, Billy Gunn's the anomaly, but you can't be the anomaly if everybody is like you. So,
right.
And Sheamus, I think, falls into that category as well. Plus, he literally has a YouTube channel about his workouts. Like, the dude has worked very hard. He came back, and everybody was like, burger after burger after burger. And he immediately trimmed back down. And he said he came back too soon because they called him and wanted him to come back sooner than he expected. So he wasn't quite ready to be on television. Because, again, that's hard. To have a TV-ready body all the time is hard. That's why we should respect people like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, all, you know, older ones like AJ Styles and Randy Orton, who can come back to be in the shape that they're in and maintain that shape over a long period of time. And I respect it for Sheamus as well. Even like Kenny Omega, it is like the people are older than you think sometimes. They're not all 29 like MJF, or however old Adam Cole is, and yet he still doesn't lift weights. But, and I love Adam Cole. Tier 4, tier 5, I don't know. We'll talk about that another time. It'll be sad. For me, because he should have been a tier 2 guy, in my opinion. But I was shocked when I saw that Sheamus signed a 5-year deal. Like, and maybe there's other things in it that's like if he leaves, the deal ends, or, you know, if he can voluntarily retire, or maybe he would move into an office role, backstage role, sit at the table with Big E. Who knows, right? But I think that I'm just fascinated by the fact that Sheamus' contract ends when he's 51 years old. That just kind of blows me away a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I mean, we should know better. We really should know better.
Well, I think the reason why it surprises me is, again, because of the condition that we've largely heard reported of his, just the toll of injuries that have taken on him. And, like, that was why word as long ago as 5 years previous, there was talk about, like, he's coming back for his last run, and it just seems like remember when his tag team run with Claudio was going to be it?
Yeah. I was like, how he's going to end his career was by putting over Claudio.
Yep.
And now he might outlast him. Who knows? So good for Sheamus. Good for old Sheamus.
For Sheamus, indeed.
Getting paid. Because you got to figure, someone at Sheamus' stature is pulling in at least like $1.5 million a year. Like,
oh, yeah.
So,
he's doing fine.
So good for him. That's a $7.5 million contract, if my guessing is correct, which it very well may not be. But who cares? So before we depart, Patrick O'Dowd, because we've pissed everybody off, as I like to further prove that I know what I'm talking about sometimes, Greg is a wrestling promoter, and we do have an event this Friday night. And we've talked about it briefly on this show because it got announced in the middle of December, and then, of course, it took a few weeks off. But this Friday night in Phoenix, Arizona, at Bull Shooters, is IZW Fight Night. Now, despite what I'm about to tell you, you want to go to IZWTix.com to claim your tickets. Notice I said claim your tickets and not buy your tickets. This show is free. And this is something that I first came up with towards the tail end of 2023. And I was like, what if we did a free show? And I talked to one of the sponsors, and our kid had a birthday around it, and we're going to try to do something. And it just never materialized. And as things progressed forward, this opportunity presented itself. And I can't really say on air, I don't want to say on air why the opportunity presented itself. I can maybe share it after the fact. But the possibility to need to put on an event or want to put on an event came up. And as I once tried to promote two events at the same time, one of them was amazing. The other one was a disaster, to put it nicely. Definitely the worst event that we've ever put on. I was like, no, I cannot promote two events. I cannot sell two events at one time. So it's like, so how can we make it work? And in Greg's mind, he said, it's going to have to be free. And how the hell do you do that? We do our free shows in Coolidge, but they're paid for by the city, this and that. So thanks to our sponsors, like 3D sports cards and collectibles, like Raw Deal IndyCard, like WrestleDrag, like Joseph and Sarah, who's been a great sponsor who stepped up for us, and like Sound Sanctuary Tattoos, who is sponsoring this event, and our venue Bull Shooters, who is letting us use the facility to do this, we are able to present a legit IZW event, a real, you know, 6, 7, 8 match event that someone will get to come see. There's 6 matches that are announced, but there's also talent that's announced that don't have matches announced, so you know what that means. And it's going to be just like going to an IZW event that you paid for. The only difference is we don't have any VIP matches because we don't have a VIP ticket that we're selling. And it starts at later, it starts at 8 o'clock because it's on a Friday instead of a Saturday when we would normally start at 7. So this is a legit card. It is main evented by our IZW heavyweight champion, Evan Main Event Daniels, who was main event before Jey Uso was. And he holds the IZW heavyweight championship, and he is defending that title against, I don't know, former IZW wrestler, IZW alum, but former IZW 3D Sports Fighting Champion, Jacob Austin Young, who had to relinquish that title because he's competing for New Japan. He was a flag bearer for his faction at Wrestle Kingdom. He wrestled at New Year's Dash. He's part of the United Empire faction that is led by Will Ospreay and Jeff Cobb and TJ Perkins. And he's been competing in Japan. He actually just returned home today. And so he will be main eventing this event against our champion, Main Event Daniels. He looks to take that title back to New Japan with him when he travels back later this month. We also have our women's championship on the line as Alice Blair defends against Olivier Vegas. Joe Graves versus Bryce Saturn, which, if you know anything about IZW, is a huge match that we are giving away for free. And that's the we have a feud that's been going on between Mike G and Chewy Gonzalez. That match is on this card. Like, we're not just like, we're not phoning it in because it's free. We're putting on the legit event. So go to IZWTix.com and claim your tickets, because right now there's less than 50 tickets left for this event. And we'd already increased the number of tickets that are available. There's going to be people sitting. There's going to be people standing. Patrick, we had to change. So initially doors were going to open at 7 and the card was going to begin at 8. We had to change to doors open at 6:30 for group 1 and 7:15 for group 2. We have to have 2 different groups to enter the event because of how many tickets have been claimed for this. Now they're free, so we'll see how many actually come and show up, but I think it's going to be a good percentage. Plus we have our veterans, plus we have anybody who might just walk up and want to come in because it's free. So I'm very excited at the chance to do this, as you can tell. Because it's like, what can we do next, right? What can we do that's this and that? And I already have things going on and wheels turning in my head. We have a free event coming up this Friday night. So 8 p.m. is the bell time. It's at Bull Shooters at 35th and Peoria here in Phoenix. So if you're in or around Phoenix, come on out. check it out. It's going to be an absolute great time. We're going to have some giveaways during the event. Like, it's kind of an unnamed fan appreciation night with some of the stuff that we're doing, but just to give away a real legit IZW event for free is something that I'm so excited for. We've got fans who haven't been in a while who've claimed tickets. We got fans who have never been who have claimed tickets. So I'm super excited about what we're doing. So go out there, claim your tickets, IZWTix.com, and come check us out. Patrick Dow will not be there this time, but that's okay. Everybody else will. So come and be a part
of it. I've heard that security was never tighter than when I was there.
Never, ever tighter. Never tight. It was the tightest security ever. It was so tight that it had to take a laxative the next day. But it was very, very good. No, Patrick did a great job. Patrick did an outstanding job and still got to see bits and pieces of the event as well. And that was the Nick Namath show. So he had a very important job. He had to keep everyone out, but let Nick Namath in. So that was that
all. Mission accomplished.
Job well done.
Showed him where to find the locker room.
A plus 100. And you did just that and even held the curtain open for him. So go to IZWTix.com. Claim your free ticket. It's going to be a great time. You do not want to miss it. Follow Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter that we were complaining about, at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one on Realist. Follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website, thechairshot.com, at Chairshot Media.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It is a good follow. You will appreciate it. You will get to keep up on everything that we do. And listen to all the other shows that are part of our podcasting network, like the Bandwagon Nerds that we were talking about earlier, and so many more. Get your best wrestling coverage and so much more at the website, thechairshot.com. It is all there for you in the year 2025 as we approach 8 years of doing all of this at thechairshot.com, which is really kind of crazy when you think about it. So very excited about that. So for Patrick, for me, Greg DeMarco, we hope you enjoyed Raw. We can't wait to talk to you about it more. We talked about the black canvas on Raw. Didn't get to talk about the horrendous light blue canvas on SmackDown. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But until then, I didn't have a new theme, wrestling theme song, so I'm going to pick an old one that we've done in weeks prior. We will see you next time right here on the show.
Acknowledge me!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.